Hey, it's a privilege for me to be standing up here with you. My name is Pastor Brandon, one of the pastors here on staff, and I am so honored. I get to help us kick off a new series for the month of October called We Were Made for This. And before I do that, I would just love your help in just welcoming one other group of people that are here among us, and that is our online viewers. Would you give them a big round of applause? So glad to have you with us. We have missionaries around the world, military personnel, as well as many people in our community that watch. And so we are so grateful that you get to be with us and hope that you receive the word of the Lord as much as we do. So excited about this series. And really, We Were Made for This is like a season two, if you will, to what we just talked about in September. That series was called Better Together. And let me give you the quick trailer for that series and what it was all about. We saw that God has a desire for all of us to experience four things in life, and that's this: to know Jesus, find freedom, discover purpose, our purpose redeemed in Christ, and through that, make a difference in the world around us. Those are four incredible truths that are not just true for you individually, but they're true for every family. Those words, as we discovered, they weren't just meant for a me, but they were meant for a we. And that was so powerful to discover that. And what we're hoping to do in the next few weeks is help you and I both discover how to live the life we were made for. How do we live in these four things, and how do we live the life we were made for together? That's where we're going, and we're going to be using a book in the, or really a letter that's found in the New Testament called Ephesians, and it's written by a Christian that we call the Apostle Paul. And he wrote this letter really on the broad terms of trying to explain and answer that very question. How do you live this life we were made for in Christ? How do we know what God's purpose is, and how do we walk that out? And so that's where we'll be going for the next few weeks, and we're really excited about that. But first things first. Today, before we get to how do we live the life we were made for, we really need to answer the question of who were we made to be? And that's a very important question for all of us to understand and for all of us to receive. And so that's why today is kind of the this is a football speech, if you're familiar with that coach. Or this is kind of like this is your life 101 class, okay? Welcome to it. Or you could say this is just a first things first talk. But whatever you believe, I really believe it's important, especially, and if I could get, I just want to make sure all our veteran players in life, or all of our veteran players in Christianity, if you've been in the game for a while, this is so important, and it matters so much for where you are and where you're headed. So I hope, even if this is a football or this is your life 101 class, I hope you will lean into it and make sure and allow God to kind of realign some things that might have gotten out of alignment. That's what today is all about. And this conversation about who is so important, and here's why. It's something that I'm a little nervous to admit, but I know it's true about me. And I'm pretty sure it's true about you, but I'll just say it's true about people, because then none of us get offended, is that this: people tend to measure their lives by what they see and perceive. People tend to measure their lives by what they see and perceive. It doesn't necessarily have to be true, but it will be true for them. And it's really difficult sometimes to see ourselves doing that. It tends to be a little easier. We can see other people who are measuring their lives by what they see. They're measuring up things. And especially for parents, it's really easy to see our kids do this. And I've learned that. I have three children. And my youngest son, Shepherd, he turned 4 this week. And I'll tell you, he measured his life by Tuesday, the day he turned 4. That was like crossing an unending space-time continuum. You know, in a matter of 24 hours, he got bigger muscles. He got smarter. You know, his stature was stronger. I mean, this kid was even able to chew chewing gum now. I mean, it was like life at full speed for him. And it's so funny that the day before, I actually called him 4 the day before, and he just, like, he stopped everything. Like, Dad, what are you talking about? You know, there's no way. I'm still 3. Tomorrow's 4. Don't get me. There's no way I could already be there. You know, me as a dad, I'm measuring that as a day. That's crazy, huh? For him, he's just measuring it completely different. Right? I mean, that's just, and honestly, he's just doing what people do all the time. We measure things by how we see things. It's so easy to see in kids, and especially with our middle children. Any middle children out there in the world? Good, okay. I'm not one of them. I'm a baby of the family. So I have no idea. Everything for me was fine. You know, I was going to be taken care of, and what's the big deal? So if you weren't taking care of me, then you were, or you were, or you were. So I was, you know, life was grand. But then I had kids, and I had a middle child, and oh, man, as a father, it breaks my heart when she starts measuring herself by what she sees. Especially my little girl, my middle girl, her name is Reagan, and when she starts measuring herself up to her bigger sister, oh, I just want to stop that moving car, but I don't really have much to stop it with. I'm usually throwing words at it, trying to get it to stop down there. No, don't look there, right? It's when she's, the minute she's so smart, she's really strong, she's a brilliant girl, but the minute she starts measuring up academically, physically or emotionally, come on, you've seen it in kids, or they, you've seen them measure up, her ability to comprehend, it, as soon as she starts measuring up, man, she starts spiraling. And as a dad, I just want to, you know, I'm trying to help her fix her eyes on that, that it's wrong, that her measurements, she's measuring herself off false readings, right? It's false readings. It's not, no, it's not true, but it doesn't matter. It's true to her. And as a dad, man, it just breaks my heart to see that. And I have no idea. I try so hard as soon as I see it to try to correct that, to try to help her see, hey, that's not true. What you're going off false readings. It is so challenging to do. And I think the truth is, and if we're all honest about it, we can all do it ourselves, right? This phenomenon about reading life or measuring life by what we see, it's not just true for little children, but it's true for all of us. I imagine there's been seasons of life or situations in your life where you have measured yourself and your purpose by what you see. And some of those seasons left you questioning, right? Well, questioning what? Well, probably everything. I mean, at one point, there was a moment where it just was, everything else seemed larger than life, right? Your insecurities, your fears, your inabilities, they all became so big. And it didn't matter if what you saw was true or not because it became true to you. And it became true to me. And we've all been there. We've all felt that. We know what it feels like to measure our lives by what we see and perceive. And sometimes when we're there, we're measuring off false readings, right? It's nearsightedness. We're looking at things and measuring things based on our measurements, but they're not always the right way to do it. And this is so important, and this is why. Because it's possible, and listen to this, it's possible then to believe in Jesus and still feel lost. It's possible, you get that? It's possible to make a decision to follow Jesus and still feel bound or still feel hopeless. In other words, it's possible to be okay with Jesus and not be okay. And there's an incredible grace truth that Jesus came to reveal to us. And it's this, that you aren't to measure your life and your purpose by how you see you. But you and I are to measure your life by how God sees you. And that is so important. And that is 100% what Paul, the way Paul sees is so important. In fact, he opens his letter to the Ephesians, this letter about how to live the life you were made for. He opens it by saying, we're going to get there, but first, you better know the who and make sure that's settled. You need to know the who. And what's incredible is Paul tells us that Jesus, in Christ Jesus, God made three choices about your life. Three choices about your life. Before the world began, before you were born, God made three choices. And they are so vital and so important for you and I as we look to follow Jesus. These three choices that God made provide an incredible and extraordinary insight into who we are made to be. And it's not something we can discover. It's just something that we receive. So that's my hope for us today, is that we can really receive that. And like I said, the good news is we're not the first people to wrestle with measuring ourselves by what we see. But Paul, again, gives us this answer of who we are, and that we can understand that God decided that through Jesus, he'd give us three gifts which Paul actually calls three spiritual blessings. And Paul is so caught up in this as he's talking. As he's writing this letter, he gets so emotional, so passionate. It's awe-inspiring, and he is just, it's honestly like his heart is exploding in gratitude, like he's singing this. He's not writing it. It's like he's like singing it over the people that he's writing to, and he's kind of telling everybody, hey, come on, join in the song. And that's what we should do today. We should just receive it like that. So would you lean in with me? We're going to look at the first chapter of Ephesians, how Paul opens up. I've given you the passages we're going to look at on an outline in your bulletin. And also, if you have your Bible or you have your phone, you can pull it up there. But we're going to begin and look at how Paul shows us these three decisions God made about us. I think I said it something pithy at the beginning, like who God chose about you or something like that. I think it's a little smarter or wittier. Anyways, on your sheet. So let's get to Ephesians. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, here it is, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. And here's what he says next. Even before the world was made, God loved us, and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. So here's the first decision we see. The very first thing that God chose about who we would be is that we would be accepted. There it is. What God chose about your who, that you would be accepted. Now, if you've grown up in church like me or around church, we read this idea of the maker of the universe accepting us, and we don't even shrug, right? It says, I mean, we don't even twinge. It doesn't even make, I mean, yeah, okay. But that is an incredible, you know, just staggering statement, claim that Paul makes. And we should be reminded of who he's talking to, what it means. Paul's writing to a people where birthright was everything. Or to say it another way, birthright is what made you right. In other words, where you were born and the family you were born into and the people you came from, well, that determined if you would have success or acceptance or significance in life. And if you had the right birthright, well, then you were born right. And you were right. But if you weren't born right, well, then you were just wrong. Whoops, sorry, that's it. But God one-upped birth. Before, it says, before the world was formed, before you were born, before birthright, he chose in Christ to accept you and to adopt you is the word he used. Adoption is beautiful. It's nothing you can earn. His acceptance is nothing that you can earn. It's nothing you can prove your worth. Actually, adoption is a relationship based solely on grace. And what's so cool about how Paul writes this is he talks about God choosing this, and he uses language that says this: it's a choice of God's nature. In other words, God didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to give it a second's thought of whether or not he was going to adopt you. It's just who he is. I mean, God's just so full of love. God is grace. God is so rich in kindness. Adopting you, well, that's just kind of the thing he does. He didn't even think about it. He just made the decision before you were born. It's so important, and here's what's so cool. See, it has nothing to do with you. God's love for you and acceptance to you hear that? It has nothing to do with you because you weren't even born when he decided that he'd do it. That's his acceptance. That's what he decided we would be, who we would be, a relationship solely based on grace, that he would accept us. And this is what Paul says, that it's, again, it's that nature of God, that this is what God wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. And if any of this just right now sounds a little too over-sentimental for you, just remember that God sacrificed all he had to make that decision. This was a put your money where your mouth is, skin in the game decision for God. But even still, making that decision did not inconvenience God. Let me say it to you personally. God did not do this for you or save you because you were a problem. It was not a burden for God to do this for you. It's just who he is. And we don't have to earn it. We just have to receive it. Some of us, me included, we need to receive that if Christ had to die only for you alone, that he would have still done it. That's who God decided we would be, that we would be accepted. But that's not all. Look at how Paul continues in Ephesians. He says that God is so rich in kindness and grace. Not only did he accept us and adopt us, but he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and all understanding. So beautiful. The second thing that God decided about who you and I would be is that we would be freed from sin. Freed from sin. And this is not just an activity, but this is about an identity. We would be people who are known to be free from sin. It wasn't enough. I love this. It wasn't enough for God to just choose to adopt us. And he went even further than forgiving our sin. And that's really nothing to shrug at, right? But God went further than that to provide our freedom from sin. The language he uses, that he purchased our release from sin's bondage. And I want to just pause for a moment to help us all process why that is so powerful. His implication, Paul's, is that sin is something you must be freed from. That sin is something that you must be released from. In other words, by definition, sin has an appetite. Sin has a bit of a control problem. And if you give sin an inch, it'll take your life. Sin is so powerful. This is what Pastor Cassie said to me earlier. She said, sin will take you farther than you want to go, faster than you want to get there. Right? Anyone been there? In Paul's words, he says, sin has a compounding effect, that it darkens one's perspective and it dulls one's sensitivities. Here's the thing about sin. Sin isn't dangerous in where it begins. Sin is dangerous in where it ends. Sin begins with immediate gratification, happiness, my way. It begins there, but it always ends with a gotcha. It always ends there. That's how sin works. Therefore, when you are in grips, the grip of sin, you can't see correctly, is what Paul's saying, and you can't feel correctly. You cannot measure correctly. You making that connection? And we have all been in the grips of sin. Like I said, the danger is not in where sin begins, but it's in where sin ends. And what happens is by the time that we give sin an inch, it'll take us faster and farther than we want to go, and we end up broken and in bondage. But praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is so rich in his kindness that he didn't just accept you before you were born. He knew the struggle you'd have, and he decided that with the blood of his son, he would purchase you, and he would purchase your freedom from sin so that you wouldn't be broken and in bondage any longer, but that he would break what had bound you with the blood of his son, Jesus. That is what he chose about you before you were even born. In Christ, we have that. We have that acceptance from him. We have this adoption from him that we don't have to earn. We have a freedom from him that we don't have to strive for. It's so beautiful. And finally, he chose this third thing about our who, and that's this, that we would be significant. Significant. When God chose to adopt us, to purchase our freedom, that was just because of his nature. That was just because it's just who he is. I mean, he didn't even think about it. It just happened. I mean, just, you know, it just was kind of how he worked. You know, accepting people, adopting people, freeing people, that's just kind of what God does. That was pretty cool. But this third thing, significance, this third choice he made, Paul delineates a different kind of decision. It's one that is intentional and strategic. It's one that is thought about. It's one that is rational. It's one that, in other words, God didn't have to choose this, but he chose it anyway. He made a rational and conscious decision to include you in part of his plan for the world, include you in part of his ultimate purposes. It's how God made you. God made decisions about who you would be long before the world was formed. And I want you to hear that call from the call from the before the world was formed kind of God. Before the worm was called, he chose you. And he chose that you would have a purpose in him. That's what he chose. We've said it here before, that you were created to make a difference. You were designed and hardwired to find those things that lead to the greatest fulfillment in life. Now, I'll be honest, I hear this, and I'm even a pastor, but I hear this, and there's a little pushback in me. There's a little wrestle, because I'm like, whoo, this sounds a little American dreamy, right? Just there's a purpose out there. There's this pursuit out there. And we can feel that. I get that. That's because we're in America. But let's just remember, this idea didn't come from an American. It came from a first century Jew. And he was speaking to people who had no American dream. He was speaking to a people who were poorer than poor and in more ways than one. There were people who had no social rights or social class, no status. They would never make the news. They would never have even access to the resources that you and I can touch. And Paul shared an insight about God to those people that they could change the world because God chose that's who they'd be. And that same God chose that about you and about me. The things that used to determine those people in the past, the things that determined who they were and their significance and their culture, those were now surpassed by what God chose outside of their culture before they were born. God made decisions about them, and it was for not for their glory, not for their dream, but for his own. And these insights, these three, that God chose us that to be people who were accepted and freed and significant, those three insights, they caused Paul to just kind of erupt in praise in this letter as he opens up to these people. And it actually causes him to move into this prayer, a divine prayer that he prays. And it's really a prayer for all Christians everywhere. And it's a prayer I prayed over you this week. That in Christ, that was an important scripture, but we'll skip it. For we are, I can't skip this. Okay, I told you guys about significance. Back up, Brandon. Okay. Let me just read this to you, because this is this third point that he reveals, Paul reveals, that it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. And long before, this is what I was saying, we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for his glorious living. Part of the overall purpose, he is working out in everything and in everyone. And the power of that significance, the power of that hope he gave you, it shows who he is, his craftsmanship, his artistry. This is where he says in Ephesians 2, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is that significance. This is that point. And this leads us to the prayer that Paul prays. Read it with me. I keep asking for the God of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know him better. My prayer for you is that the same way as we've gone over these three, that there's this thing that God would open your hearts with his spirit and revelation, that you would know that you are accepted, brought close to God. You would have a relationship with him that is intimate, that is true, just like Paul prayed. And he prays again that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. In other words, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that freed you from sin and that you have the ability to walk in. And finally, I pray, this is Paul praying for us, I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called. And what is that hope but the purpose that God gives us when he calls us significant? It's so powerful what God reveals through Paul's words. And my hope is that you hear this as a declaration over your life and who you are, that you were made for this. You were made for this. You were made to be someone who lived accepted. You were made to be someone who lived free and was known to be free. And you were made to live as someone who had a significance, a purpose, and a hope. God chose that for you so you don't have to worry about earning it. You hear that? God chose that for you. You never have to worry about keeping this vertical relationship with God, you know, appeased. God, you don't have to spend your Christianity appeasing God. He already chose to accept you in Christ. You don't have to spend your Christianity trying to earn your own freedom. He's already given you access to his freedom. The same power that raised Christ from the dead will raise you to life again. And you don't have to fight for significance. He already chose that's who you be. And he was intentional and specific with that choice and with that divine design. God chose that for you so you don't have to worry about it. God made these decisions about these blessings, these gifts available to you before you were born. The receipt's in the bag. It's already paid for. There is no return policy. Right? You cannot do anything to cause God to take that choice back. He made the choice before you even did anything or breathed anything. You hear that? These are so vital. And this is where Paul begins helping us recognize who we are in Christ. Now, there are two reasons why this matters to us. Two really important reasons why you and I need to hear this today. And for some of us who have been here before, we need to hear it again. And I want to give those to you real quick. First reason is this, is that this is the starting point for following Jesus. This is the starting point for following Jesus. It's the starting point for living the life you were made for. And if you start anywhere else, you will fail to hit the mark. Let me say it another way. If you don't start here, you are in danger of living your life for the wrong things and leading others in the wrong direction. Right? So I'll tease it out. If you live your life trying to gain your acceptance, or trying to free yourself from your own vices, or trying to earn your significance by your self-sufficiency, you will fail to reach those ends. And if you're a Christian and you live your faith trying to earn God's acceptance, if you're a Christian and you try to live your faith every day trying to earn your freedom or fight for your freedom, be strong for your freedom, if you try to make a difference on your own, if you try to figure that out on your own, I'm telling you, not only will you miss the mark, but something worse, you will show the world a false gospel. You will show the world just another religion with no change and no power. That is not where we start. And we can all start there. Let me give you just an example of how you could start there. If you've ever said the words, man, I just need to get right with God, you're starting in the wrong spot. You don't make that choice. He already did. If you've ever told somebody, you know what, you need to get right with God, you're preaching a false gospel. This is the only starting point. And any time that we try to earn those things on our own, we're actually leading people the wrong way. We're actually leading our own lives the wrong way. You cannot start following Jesus from any other point. You're starting in the wrong spot. And it is so vital. So some of you, have you heard this before? Yeah. You know these things? Yeah. Did we talk about it all September? Yeah. Brandon, why did we have to do the first 15 minutes of this? Yeah, I get it. I get where you're at. But listen. It is so vital for you and me because it's the only starting point for faith in Jesus. I know it hit me like that too. It did. It's that real. It's the only starting point that we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God chose it, and we just receive it. We just receive it. Okay, good? Good. All right, point number two, why this is so important and why this matters for you and me. This matters because Jesus not only gives us a starting point, the spiritual blessings of Jesus, they're not just three gifts. Remember, in Jesus Christ, we have every spiritual blessing. And the blessings are these three decisions God made, but then also the blessing is a way forward. In Jesus, we not only receive the only starting point for life, the only right starting point for life. In Jesus, we also receive a way forward. And this is so vital for you and I to hear. So kind of lean into this. I want to read it so I don't get it wrong. We don't have to live stuck. Remember I said you can know Jesus, right? Still feel lost. The good news is, because there's a way forward, we don't have to live stuck, but we can still choose to. God's love for you and his choices for you don't mean you will be the person you were made to be or that you will do the things he made you to do. Do you hear that? Those things come from what you choose. He has a life full of spiritual blessings in Christ for you to live, and he won't take the offer off the table, but you and I still have a choice in the matter. Jesus offers us a starting point, but then he gives us a direction to move. In other words, the starting point is not the same thing as an ending point. And following Jesus has never been about a one-time decision, but about a one-step-at-a-time lifestyle. You with me? These are your last blanks. Following Jesus is not about a one-time decision as much as a lifetime direction. And the direction is important. The whole second half of Ephesians is about the direction. The whole second half of what Paul says is, this is how you live the life you are meant to be. This is the direction you walk. In fact, he actually says that. He says we are to walk out a life worthy of the calling we receive. But you cannot walk that walk if you don't start where you can only start, which is receiving these three things from Jesus Christ. You don't earn it. You can't deserve it. That's not how this works. We just get to receive it. And that is good news. If we get this wrong, it's just religion. But if we get this right, it's everything the world wants and needs. And so today, we're going to take that step, right? Following Jesus is this direction. We're going to take our first step. And the first step is just receiving what Jesus and what God already chose in Christ for you and me. I just need to be honest with you. This is so hard for me. God, thank you, but I can't earn it. I'm pretty good, you know. I'm pretty, can I be honest with you? I mean, yeah, but I'm pretty capable. Thank you, God, but I can also do my own thing. I mean, I'll be honest, I wrestle with that tension in me a lot. But you can't start anywhere else. And that's my call for us, is that we would receive. And so I'm right here with us, receiving this word, that we would truly receive these three truths about how God measures and sees our lives. And we're going to do that today. We're going to take our first step by receiving communion. Because communion comes from Jesus. It's a meal he had with his followers the night before he went to the cross. And he told them, hey, I want you to do this as a symbol. I want you to take this meal as a symbol of receiving the life from me you cannot gain on your own. That's what communion means. And that's what today is all about. So I'm going to ask you, we're going to sing a song, the same song that Pastor Brian introduced to us called Reckless Love. Because it speaks of a kindness of God and a breath of God that was over your life before you were ever born and before the world began. And it also speaks of a love that is reckless. And you might wrestle with that term, but let me tell you why that God's love is reckless. Because it doesn't play by the world's rules. And when God's love comes in, it wrecks the powers and the principalities and the systems of this world. And it provides a starting point and a way forward for a new life. Amen? So as you let this song be sung over you, as you let this song come out of your heart, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you that the moment you choose to receive these three promises for your own life, that you would stand. Okay, and we'll stand at the end and we'll receive it, but I'm just going to ask you, would you make that personal moment? Because nobody can choose that for you. God himself left it to be a choice for you to receive yourself. So God, we thank you. God, all praise to you, our God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who chose these things. God, so we didn't have to. And I pray, just as Paul prayed, God, I pray that the hearts in this room, the eyes of the hearts would be enlightened. God, you would flood them with your wisdom and your understanding to show them that you chose them, you freed them. God, you gave them significance before they even had a chance to make their own choice. And God, that offer is on the table. And would you give them the courage and the wisdom to receive that today? In Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing and the ushers distribute that, would you take your personal stance and then we will receive communion together.